I've been walking a tightrope between fact and fiction. Been wrestling with demons in small bottled prisons. Been talking to sinners who claim to be Christian, but shouting at leaders who claim to be listening. And the pendulum swings, but I can't stop the pull. Our elections are travesties paid for in full by a gang full of sellouts who worship a bull. Why can't it all just be free and equal?
This is Christina Tobin, and you're listening to the Free and Equal Network. Today we have Diane Goldstein. I've had the privilege of hanging out with her and her family over the Thanksgiving holidays. So wonderful. She's actually a speaker and board member for the Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Many of you may know of it as LEAP, L-E-A-P. And she's also a retired lieutenant from Redondo Beach. Diane, welcome to the Free and Equal Network today.
Thank you very much, Christina. A pleasure and an honor to be on with you.
I feel the same way. I have a lot of guests on the network, but not many of them where I'm able to say that I've been able to be around their family and their inner circle and just be really, it felt like a part of the family over Thanksgiving. I really enjoyed that very much. And thank you for having me be a part of that amazing experience recently.
You know what? Family is hugely important in my life. And what I have found is my work in drug policy reform has extended my family in ways that I never realized. And I think it's because, it's that fight, it's that passion, it's meeting other like-minded individuals that, and as much as I love law enforcement, don't get me wrong in any way, shape, or form, I think it's different when it's a passion versus just a career.
Well, there's a lot of passion within your family, yourself. You have a couple of beautiful little creatures, and not little, but dogs there. I know they're rescued animals. What were their names again?
Lulu and Gretchen. Yeah, I would. My husband wouldn't let me adopt kids, so I had to contend with rescue animals.
It's a great compromise. And you're a retired lieutenant. I think a lot of our listeners maybe don't know the lifestyle of what a lieutenant entails from Redondo Beach. How long were you a lieutenant for? And can you tell us a little bit more of your history there before maybe you got involved with law enforcement against prohibition?
Sure. I actually started out as a patrol officer back in 1983, and I retired as the first female lieutenant in Redondo Beach Police Department. And I was a lieutenant for about 2 years. So I had a very interesting career in the sense that I worked consistently operational projects and aspects of the police department, whether it was investigations. I worked child abuse and sex crimes, juvenile. I started a school resource officer program. I worked gangs. I ran a gang unit, and I ran our special investigations unit, which was a narcotics team, as well as a career criminal unit. And in addition, then when I promoted, I was responsible for about, one third of the police department fell under my area of responsibility. So I've had everything from, the ground floor to the managing of a really progressive law enforcement agency. And it taught me a lot, interesting enough, which also gave me kind of the strength of my convictions when I started doing my work with LEAP. You know, it's pretty controversial. LEAP is Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and it's not an oxymoron. And, it is an organization that's made up by current, retired, and former criminal justice professionals such as myself. And it's not just cops. It's everything from, street-level police to the military to federal law enforcement to prosecutors to Supreme Court justices. And so we're a very, very effective voice because we've worked within the system, and all of us have come to the same conclusion that our drug policy is much worse than just if we learn to manage America's drug problems from a public health perspective. It it's a waste of fiscal resources. It's a caused many massive problems relative whether you want to talk about mass incarceration, racial injustice, or the subversion of Americans' liberties and constitutional rights.
Well, when was it that you, from being a lieutenant and then that transitioning to LEAP, at what year did that happen and what sparked in your life to make such a positive change from what I can see? I've heard so many wonderful things about law enforcement against prohibition. Would love to dig deeper on the projects you guys have going on there. But for you yourself as a leader within that that organization and many others, too, that you work with, what was it, at what point in your life did you decide that was the right direction for you?
Well, I retired in 2004, and at about that same time, I had my older brother that was living with me, and I've written about my older brother in Ladybud, about being my brother's keeper, and my older brother struggled from drug addiction, and he was dual-diagnosed, so really almost what used to be called bipolar, but is now, you know, a dual diagnosis of anxiety and clinical depression. And my brother, when he lost his job, started reverted back to using illicit substances to self-medicate. And what I saw through both my personal experience and my professional experience was that the justice system was very inadequate in helping people like my brother and others like him deal with their own substance abuse issues or their mental health issues from a public health policy. And we always revert our mentally ill or our drug addicts to a system that's punitive and does nothing to help or manage their drug problems. And so my brother struggled. He had long, many years of sobriety interspersed with falling off the wagon. And he started coming into contact with law enforcement during the times when he fell off the wagon, and for things as simple as possession. And he ended up getting entwined in the criminal justice system. And I saw his fight from a different light. And so after I retired, is he lived with me on and off for a few years, and thank goodness with my husband, and we did everything that we possibly could. He got arrested, got sent to jail, and I left him in jail, and then found out while I was sitting in court that he was in fact correct on the last arrest he had, is the cops in fact had fabricated the probable cause to get into the hotel room where they found his girlfriend's heroin, and they both went to jail. And so it was a real eye-opener in the sense of, and I'm not being naive, you know, I think for me it was in law enforcement, we've always known that there's good cops and bad cops, but I had never been on the side where it had impacted someone that I loved. And it really was an epiphany moment for me, that because for me it was like, wait a minute, why would you risk your career to lie about something like this? And so that was kind of the point that I really started rethinking our laws. But I didn't know anything about LEAP at that point. And it wasn't until 2010, during the Prop 19 campaign to legalize marijuana in California, where I first found out about LEAP and was recruited into to the organization.
Thank you for that story, Diane. I had no idea. So it's the first time for me as well as our listeners. And so I think many of them can relate that we have family or loved ones, or given the dire, you know, what's going on in the world right now, and kind of wanted to go a little bit into, you know, experience being a retired lieutenant for Redondo Beach. There's so many dollars, a lack of compassion, it seems, that enforces a lot of drug laws, not only there, but, you know, given what's going on in Mexico, 100,000, I feel, unfortunate deaths due to the drug laws. And I was wondering if we could get a little bit more of your take on your experience personally in Redondo Beach regarding to drug laws and what's going on in Mexico, and maybe a little bit about, I've heard a lot about LEAP and their Caravan for Peace, and just how we can counter that, I guess, as well.
Sure. You know, from a professional experience, I think one of the things that's very critical for people to understand is that if law enforcement continues to impose a one solution policy for our drug problem, America's issues are never going to go away. The drug war is the linchpin to so many different things that are going on in our society. And, you know, and a clear example of, you know, critical resources being diverted from something that law enforcement should be doing to the drug war happens with something as simple as, let's say, forensic rape kits. So, for example, is about 2 months ago, CNN did a report on that there were 400,000 untested rape kits in America. So think about that, Christina. That's 400,000 men, women, and children who are the victims of probably one of the most horrific and brutal type of acts that any of us could ever imagine. You know, that the only thing worse than that for me really would be a homicide or death. And yet these victims have had their rape kits sitting in an evidence locker and not being tested because we focus so many of our resources on drug crimes. And every time you arrest a drug offender, in order to file a criminal case, what you must do is have those drugs tested. Well, we arrest over 1.5 million people every year for anything from cannabis to, you know, illicit substances, meth, heroin, or even, you know, prescription drug abuse. And so where are our priorities? What's our obligation? What's more important? And I think that's the thing that LEAP has the ability to focus on, is that all of us got into law enforcement to really make a difference in our communities. And what's happening, if we're honest, is the drug war sucks away other things that we should be doing that are much more important.
Well, you, when I saw you, I couldn't agree more. I definitely want to learn more about, well, the numbers there and the prison systems. And there's so many things that do need to be cleaned up, whether it's the drug war side and many people being wrongfully thrown into jail. You know, drug war being one of many issues. But when I saw you, you gave me this amazing book by Bradley Balko, and called The Rise of the Warrior Cop. And something that stuck out with me as I'm just starting to read through it a bit is that police forces, it says here, have been a part of the American criminal justice system since an 8-man department was established in Boston 175 years ago. And it was the first large department that was created 7 years later, that is, the first large department in New York City. And finally, it says here, there's never been a serious constitutional challenge to the general authority of police or to the establishment of police forces, sheriffs, departments, or any other law enforcement agencies. Just wondering, I mean, I thought that was fascinating, you know, digging into this now beyond electoral reform and fraud and NDAA and NSA and I know that our paths have crossed for a reason. I just was wondering if you had any feedback on that statement from Mr. Balko.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because I think you take a look at what's going on in Detroit right now, you know, that declared bankruptcy as a large agency in a city. And yet, from a public safety perspective, you're not hearing that it's completely gone or run amok. And so, you know, law enforcement was started years ago as a way for communities to ensure their own safety. And then they evolved as our countries have evolved. Now, can we step back from them? I believe that we should have law enforcement agencies. Now, but I also believe that we need to completely reform our criminal justice system. And I think that part of that reform is also going to look at crony capitalism and its effect on laws and how law enforcement is involved with actually changing the system, because at one point, law enforcement didn't lobby. You know, law enforcement was there simply to serve the citizens and to gather the facts. They weren't supposed to have that power to develop their own agendas and their own ideology. And I think that's what's happening right now when you start looking at the effect of crony capitalism by law enforcement. You know, it's not just public unions, it's also, you know, organizations that are set up or geared up to be training organizations like the California Police Chiefs or the California Narcotics Officers. And you start seeing this disconnect between them and their role in serving their constituents. They're serving themselves.
You know, which gets right to the heart of the role of government. According to our Declaration of Independence, the role of government truly is to protect the right of the individual. And it seems as if that's right in line with everything that you just said.
Oh, correct. And, you know, I think one of the ways that, and Radley Balko is absolutely correct about, a majority of his book, I would agree with him probably about 95% of the book. I think that some of the militarization was going to occur even without some of the grant programs because simply based on how technology has evolved. But even without that, I think that the drug war itself, and people blame the war on terror much more so for the militarization of police, but I believe that it started back because that's when I started in law enforcement, 1983, you know, under Reagan, and really, really saw the escalation of the war on drugs based on nothing more than politics. It wasn't based on science. It wasn't based on how we should be crafting our laws and how to effectively govern. It was all based on ideology.
Well, speaking of ideology, I guess, were there any other topics that you're passionate about? I've done a little more research in your background. I know that you you definitely do some work with NORML, the Women's Alliance, I see.
Yes.
You must know Sabrina Fendrick.
I do. Wow. She is fabulous. I'm very excited to see that she's going to be out at Poly Pavilion with us.
Yeah, we're having that United We Stand Festival, right, on May 10th at UCLA. I'm so excited to have to be able to know you so recently in life and again to be a part of being a part of your family and Thanksgiving. Again, thank you for that amazing experience I'll never forget. And on top of that, I really thank you for accepting and wanting to be a part of our festival at UCLA this May.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting? What I'm really excited about is what I like about what you're doing with United We Stand. It's not just on the topics of drug war. It's about how we create a better government. We need to really take a look back at our political philosophy. We need to go back all the way to Aristotle and really ask those important questions. What does it mean to govern? And how do we do it? And what's the best way of doing it? And I've used a lot of, in a lot of the articles that I write, I go back to, Locke and Hobbes and Aristotle and so many of the other great philosophers who really made us think and really crafted this amazing constitution. I look at that and just go, you know, how free thinking and how farsighted they were. And what we don't have now is we don't have great political philosophers anymore. And I think it's a void that is being filled, very interesting enough, by women who have found their political voice. Drug policy reform has really seen the explosion of some incredibly bright and talented women who are now becoming leaders. And they're doing it in a way that I think brings a little bit more nuance and sophistication to the table. And I think that's what I like about what you're doing is I see in you another powerful female voice to change and make our future better.
Oh, thank you so much. We have so many dynamite women like yourself. Amber Lyon, she's a 3-time Emmy Award-winning journalist, whistleblower, CNN. She's done a lot of a lot of stories on sex crimes in the past. I can't wait for you to meet her. You're going to have so much in common. Of course, Sabrina Fendrick of Normal, and Marianne Williamson. She's a spiritual author, New York Times best-selling author, running for Congress in California's 33rd as an independent. Just these really amazing, real, dynamite woman, it seems, with lots of compassion. And so I wholeheartedly welcome you aboard to this movement, this kickoff for a 10-stop university bus tour across the United States of America.
Oh, you know what? I'm really excited. And I'll tell you, I think you linked something that I'm much more libertarian than I am Republican, so to speak. And it's hard at this point politically to define who we are. And that's why I like the sense of really being an independent. And one of the things, I'm not necessarily truly libertarian. I'm not truly a Republican. I'm not truly a Democrat. But I'm trying to find that political avenue where compassion makes sense, as in C-E-N-T-S. And that's something, you know, it's that fiscal conservative, social libertarian, and I think we can do it. And I think that if we ground our government in compassion, we will be better off as a society in general. You know, you can start literally with the criminal justice system, and let's just take a look at moving our drug policy under a public health model. And we have enough laws on the books. If you're a drug addict and you go out and hurt someone, we have a law for that. We don't need a law because you're a drug addict.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, what really sets LEAP, law enforcement against prohibition, as well as many of our speakers on the network, apart from the rest, is that you guys go out there and do things. I know you guys did the Caravan for Peace that traveled across the U.S., right?
And yeah, that was spectacular. And right now, LEAP really wants to thank all their followers and volunteers who donated to our Indiegogo campaign that's basically allowing us to finish the documentary. That was very powerful for me, you know, and I think you know, Christina, as I was born in Mexico City, and I still have family and relatives in Mexico. And if there's one thing that we in America could do to actually change Mexico, which would then help reform our immigration policies, cut the corruption there and the deaths, would be to end the war on drugs. It was so moving and disheartening to talk to mothers who have no idea what happened to their children, whose children were killed or kidnapped or have gone missing, and really don't know if they're missing because of the government or because of the cartels. You know, there's so many different things that the Caravan for Peace did with regard to crafting our message and really making me realize that we need to return the peace to policing. You know, here we met with children who were on the Caravan for Peace who have lost their parents. There were so many different things, and it powerful and life-changing and life-affirming all at the same time.
Yeah, I'm a true believer in the smallest minority is really, truly the individual. And we are all individuals. And in Mexico, when you think of the cartels and you look at the money tied between even the CIA and the United States of America and Mexico, it's just, it's not good. You know, there's a tie there. And a lot of these, you know, not good things happening in the world does feed from the tax dollars that we pay here in the U.S. And I'm not okay with my tax dollars being spent for those, you know, sort of not good things. And so, you know, here at Free and Equal, we're not here to point the fingers, whether it's CIA or a few powerful families or, you know, people in office that have been, you know, infiltrated by the system over time. I believe a lot of them went in with a good heart. Maybe some didn't, benefit of the doubt always, but no, we're here just to fix it. You know, we can't bring back the ones that we've lost in the past, but we can unite together as individuals. Always, there's more of us than there are of them to take back our government. And that's what this tour is about, United We Stand Festival, 10-stop tour. We're not going to stop at that. We're going to have conferences. It's a long-term, positive, powerful, solution-based movement. We'll have many other initiatives, but this tour is what's going to drive the awareness, I feel, throughout the U.S. and hopefully the world. Because I'll tell you, the world is watching us right now. Last year during the Larry King debate, just sitting there and dealing with international media. They're watching us, dozens, hundreds of them that covered us throughout the world. Not the media in the U.S., not much at all, but throughout the world really covered that debate and watching Free and Equal. So I really thank you for being a part of this movement and law enforcement against prohibition as well. Diane, I see the website for LEAP is LEAP, LEAP.cc.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Wonderful.
And just a shout out for people is you can become a member of LEAP. We'll take your money, but we're not going to ask you for your money. Just go and sign up for our email. And what that does is it grows our voice because LEAP has grown exponentially since 2002 when it was started by 5 police officers. We are now have somewhere, I think, roughly over 5,000 current former and retired criminal justice professionals, and we keep getting more every single day who are contacting us. So I think that we're similar to what the Vietnam Vets for Ending the Vietnam War were. Same type of thing.
Well, thank you so much, Diane. Again, that website's LEAP, LEAP.cc. Please support them one way or another, even if it's getting informed and spreading law enforcement against prohibition, the word to many others about this amazing organization. And Diane, did you have anything else to tell our listeners before we wrap up the show?
No, I appreciate the shout out and appreciate being on Free and Equal Access. And I look forward to developing the collaboration and the relationship, not just about the drug war, but about politics in general.
Well, the feeling's mutual, and I look forward to seeing you again and hanging out. And thank you, Diane, so much for your support. And I look forward to working with you for many, many decades to come. Lots of love to you.
And Merry Christmas.
Thank you, you too. And you've been listening, everyone, to the Free and Equal Network. Christina Tobin. Lots of love to all of you. Till next time.